Well, let's see. I think we can dive into it. Kelly Burt is the children's coordinator, and Bethany Williamson, the teen services coordinator at the East Bonner County Library. And we are approaching a change of seasons here. The school year is coming to an end, and you guys are here to kind of bring some attention to the importance of summer reading in particular today. What is the library, what kind of role does the library play in the kind of the summer education of our local youth? Who wants to field this one?
Well, as we know, school's about to get out, and I'm sure all the teachers are counting down the days, and we're counting to the days where we get to fill that kind of that gap between learning. And so learning doesn't stop when school closes. So we want to help encourage families, kids, caregivers to continue learning, whether that's reading for 5 minutes or reading for an hour each day, but to keep your brain kind of still firing, and also encourage learning outside of just reading a book, that learning happens through experiences, through just walking around town, connecting with people, but also like a lot of our summer reading programming is happening outside because we want to encourage those hands-on experiences because we have such a nice summer here. We don't want to be stuck inside either. So we want to encourage people to come continue learning with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. Do you guys work? Are you in conversation with like the folks at the school district, various teachers or anything like that? Do you coordinate at all with local educators on how to, you know, and what kids should be reading or what the programming should be?
We certainly continue to talk to teachers, and that's one of my missions, is to build more connections within the school district. We take a lot of continuing education on what schools are teaching so that we can stay up to date on what schools are teaching, also kind of what homeschool curriculums are like, so that we can kind of adapt our programming to our community here, which is, you know, public school and homeschool. So we do try to stay in line with it. I volunteer at Farman mainly because my son Ryder goes there, but also because I think it's really important to be in the schools as my role as as the children's coordinator, to know what's going on in the schools, what they're teaching, how they're teaching it.
Well, I have some broad kind of societal questions I want to ask about kids are reading and stuff.
We're
like
getting
that.
Deep.
Let's save that. Let's save that. Let's have our cup of coffee and we'll get into that later.
First cup.
Let's talk a little more, I guess, about the details just of what's coming up at the library. What does the summer reading like program entail, and when does it start?
Yeah, so our big kickoff to summer reading is on Saturday, June 7th. That's going to be our color fun run. So it's at 10 a.m. at Traverse Park. We'll kick it off with a big color fun run. So it's a half a mile loop at Traverse. We're partnering with the City of Sandpoint and the YMCA. And we'll have a big balloon arch. We'll have process art. We'll have chalk art. We'll have all sorts of interactive things that you can do. But the main focus is going to be that little fun run. And then the library's role will be there as we're going to be talking about our summer reading programming. We'll be signing people up for summer reading. We'll be giving out free books. If you register for summer reading, you'll get a free parks pass to state parks.
Okay.
That's a valuable thing.
All right.
What else, Bethany? What else is cool about the fun run?
You'll get the opportunity to get your passport, which is kind of your reading log to keep track of what you're reading and what you're doing over the summer to earn prizes. So that'll be really exciting.
A color run, for those who are not aware, I think I've seen this on social media. This is you wear like white clothes. Yes.
Yeah, it's encouraged to wear white.
And then you run through What if people throw buckets of paint at you?
No buckets of paint, but okay. That would be really exciting.
Yeah.
This is a non-toxic, biodegradable color powder.
Okay.
So we're doing it really intentionally with this color powder, knowing that lots of people might not want this on them.
Yeah.
Even it is non-toxic, biodegradable, like I said. Mm. But so we'll have stations where you can get color bombed if you prefer. Okay. But it looks really cool. It's great for the social media pictures. And it just kind of adds that, like, fun and excitement. But like I said, there'll be two stations where you can get color bombed. Mm-hmm. It'll be in the grass because it will wash off in the grass, but we want it to be like easy cleanup for the city too. So
yeah.
We want to be really respectful of everyone's wishes on this. I know there's some where you're just like bombed out of nowhere, like surprise attack. That's mm-hmm. not going to be us. Don't worry.
Okay. But as you're running on this half mile loop, you may be painted from head to toe.
Yes, with, you'll have the option to step off into the grass in a in an area predetermined, and then we will attack you with color.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Do you have to run?
No, you can run, walk,
jog.
You can use a stroller or any kind of mobility device. Mm-hmm. We do ask that you leave your bikes, your scooters, your hoverboards, all of those things. Yeah. We do ask that you just park those at the start because with a lot of people running and walking in strollers or wheelchairs, we don't want to compete with bikes and scooters and hoverboards, which that was a legitimate question from somebody. They could bring their hoverboard, but ask that that's a no. Yeah. I know. Sorry.
Bummer. Yep. June 7th, that's Saturday, June 7th. At what time?
10 a.m.
Okay.
10 to 11, so kind of quick. But we want to keep it casual, keep it fun. Mm-hmm. So, 10 a.m. to 11. And that is a partnership with the YMCA. They've been really huge in helping us plan this. And they're bringing volunteers and other supplies. And then the city of Sandpoint's been great to work with for partnering for this event, too.
Okay.
Oh, and the food bank will be there, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's nice. A huge part of that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bethany.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is there a fee to register or anything like that?
No, that leads into there's no fee to register. We just ask that you bring food for the food bank to donate.
Yeah. All right. Okay. 10 to 11 at Travers Park on Saturday, June 7th, which is only couple weeks away. two weeks from this weekend, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And then you'll be kicked off. And then here we go. It's time to start reading. Yep. Sit down, stop running, start reading.
Okay. But audiobooks count. So if you want to run and listen to an audiobook, that counts.
Okay.
Yep.
And what are the you mentioned that there's like you have a passport you can keep so people will be keeping track in a little book of what they're reading, how many books they're reading, how many chapters, words, what do you keep track of?
Yeah, so this year we're going to split it up as three different goals. So it's not just reading. You can make your own reading goal of like 5 minutes a day to like an hour a day. But we want you to read 18 days in June and 18 days in July, and you'll earn a free book for each month that you read those 18 days. But there will also be a goal where it's like a bingo where you have to do 5 different activities. And then once you achieve those activities, you'll earn a free movie ticket to Sandpoint Cinemas.
Oh, cool.
And then there's also just an attendance. So like if you are in the library, like your grandparents bring you, you just have to hang out for a little bit. You can get a stamp that you were in the library. And if you're in the library for 5 weeks out of the summer, you'll get a free token to Panhandle Cone and Coffee.
What's the age rate? Cone and Coffee, that's a big... That's okay. nice job. What's the age range for the passport?
So the passport will have a version that's for from birth to 12 years old, and we'll have one that's just for teens that's 12 to 18 years old.
Okay.
And once you finish each goal, you'll also be entered into a raffle ticket for the grand prize. So
and the grand prize is?
The grand prize for the younger, for the elementary age, is up to $75 of books of your choice. Ooh. So it could be like a set of books mm-hmm. or, you know, mm-hmm. part of a series, but up mm-hmm. to $75. And for the teens, they will get to choose if they want the choice of books or noise-canceling headset.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The teens are participating in this summer yes. reading program. Very good.
Yeah. we want them to.
We yeah. want them to.
okay, and I guess teens are reading on their own. They're not being read to,
yes.
unlike the from birth right. segment of the populace. How's the turnout in at the library during the summer months? I imagine it shrinks, I'm guessing, or does it grow? I don't know.
It
changes.
It changes. uh-huh. We definitely have a similar amount of teens that come, but it's mm-hmm. different teens. Mm. So since we're so close to the middle school and high school during the school year, we have a lot of teens that just walk over mm-hmm. and hang out until about 5, until their parents can pick them up. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of programming during the school year that's geared towards the teens that do frequent the library and that they're interested in. During the summer, we get a lot of homeschool families that they still want to do something slightly academic during the summer with their teens. Mm-hmm. And a lot of teen groups that kind of come, friend groups that hang out. Mm-hmm. And that's what they like to do during the summer is be at the library together. So we have a lot of different camps that we have set up that were successful last year that we're going to try again this year. And we kind of expanded that idea to add more camps that are available for the teens.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the, give us some examples of upcoming camps, teen camps at the library.
Yeah, so our theme for summer reading is Color Our World. So we try to do a lot of art-based camps. Mm-hmm. Our first one is an anime camp where the teens will get a chance to create their own anime character and create a story about them. We'll do some Japanese cooking in terms of making some treats mm-hmm. and trying our hand at making sushi and Ooh. See how...
I want to do that.
How that works. Uh-huh. and then June 16th, we're going to have the Blue Door Theater from Spokane is going to come up and teach improv to the teens. Mm-hmm. So we had them come 2 years ago, and it was cool. pretty successful. And the teens, we have a lot of creative teens that are really interested in writing and acting and stuff like that. So hoping that teens will come out and take advantage of that opportunity as well.
Mm-hmm. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
And yes, the sushi one sounds.
Yes.
Where will you be doing that? In just out of curiosity, how are you going to keep the library from smelling like fish?
We'll probably do more of the vegetarian sushi okay. just to try yeah. for the first time some avocado and some cucumber. Uh-huh. uh-huh. Just because when people are introduced to sushi. The raw fish is not usually the best mm-hmm. step into sushi.
Especially here in North Idaho.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pretty far from the ocean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. but we'll also have, at the end of June, we're going to have a teen chef camp where they'll learn how to make like a charcuterie board, learn to make summer smoothies, and learn how to make those like decorative pancakes where you can kind of make mm-hmm. kind of pictures out of your pancakes.
Ooh, cute.
How many of these... like teen-focused, teen-centered activities are going on over the course of the summer?
We have 5 camps, mm-hmm. and then we have 2 after-hour programs that are in July. So okay. Several of our teens from previous years really love those late night, I mean, it's at 7, mm-hmm. but those late night after hours where they feel like the library is their own kind of
right.
place to be in. So we're doing another spa night on July 15th. And then to end off summer reading to kind of celebrate, we're doing a Nerf battle in the library.
All right.
Whoa.
So
how do I sign up for that one?
Is there an age limit for that?
It is for the teens, but you could sign up as a library volunteer and help out.
Okay.
Ooh, help me in.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Okay. yes. And do the adult volunteers also get to participate? Do they
get to,
okay. They'll be armed as well. All right, good.
Is the Nerf battle in the library?
Yes.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's cool.
Uh-huh.
After hours.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
That does. Yes, I agree. That is awesome. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess talking back to the kind of just the topic of summer reading. Have we already mentioned kind of the importance of have we gone over why it's important to keep people reading? Have we said all there is to say about that? I don't remember when we turned the mics on.
Do you have anything to add to it, Bethany? Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just Kelly kind of touched on it earlier of keeping your brain working, but it's that it's also like the piece of building that community as well. Like we have the opportunity to kind of keep these families that have kind of built these communities over the school year, kind of keep them connected, as well as like show them what the library can offer them throughout the summer, that we are a safe third space for them to enjoy throughout the summer.
I love that. Yeah. And I think there's this, maybe it's overused phrase that teachers use a lot, and I know librarians, but there's this thing called the summer slide. And so when kids end the school year, they start, you know, they leave the school at a certain level. If you just kind of stop everything, then they really slide back in their reading ability and their math ability, just a little bit of everything, starting that school year off again. So they end at, say, like, you know, one level, and they're like two levels back when they start. So it's really hard for them to play catch up the beginning of the school year. So that's why it is really important to, it's hard to want to sit down and like practice your letters or practice reading. You know, it's tough because we want to be outside and we want to do all these fun, active things. And so that's why we're kind of trying to incorporate the outdoors and these exciting things. And, oh, well, let's pause and, like, do you see a letter? What rhymes with tree? You know, like, try and continue that, like, at least for me in, like, the younger childhood arena, that early literacy component, just being outside. Because there are lots of things that we can do almost conversationally that can continue that learning component that makes it fun. And you're not just sitting down like, write your A's, young man. You know, we can do it fun. We can make it fun.
Right.
100 times, write it.
That's, yeah. And then bang the erasers together totally, at the end of it. That's how we grew up.
Yeah, totally.
How do you involve the parents in this? How are they involved in the process? I think obviously for the little kids, they're going to be doing the reading themselves. But are there any, these activities that are going on? Are the parents fully involved, or do they phase out after like a certain age where the fifth graders are supposed to be just kind of doing this all on their own?
I think it depends on the family, how involved they want to be. I know it's a really busy time for families. Like, childcare is really tough, working, you know, juggling all the things. So we're happy to, you know, be that third party, that safe space to kind of like, okay, you can take a break and like go read a book over here in the corner, and we'll be here leading this program. So, you know, we encourage, especially for the younger kids that don't read on their own, we do encourage families to read with them. It is proven to that being read to early on by a safe person, by their caregiver, will only encourage them to do better in school and through their life. But parents, you know, we ask, I think it's just really dependent on the family and the kid themselves if they need to stick around. A lot of our bigger programs for the younger crowd, we did after normal working hours, so that parents could still come to have that like activity that they want to do with their kid and still be involved with them.
But flexible.
Flexible.
Could be. Yeah.
Depends on how... say for like the Strollerberry, mm-hmm. you know, we want a caregiver there.
Yeah, sure. yeah. Okay, define stroller. Okay.
So we do have quite a lineup of kids events. And uh-huh. so kids are, you know, 0 to 12 and yeah. kind of my arena. And Strollerberry is a really cool program that we have going on Mondays at 9:30. It starts the second week of June. So second week of June kind of kicks off everything. And it's an adult-paced stroller walk. And we'll have different developmental specialists each week, followed by an infant story time. So this Strollerberry is geared towards 0 to 2, mm-hmm. but also kind of more geared towards that caregiver parent component where you'll be able to have this like walk and talk with either a developmental specialist. So somebody like an occupational therapist or speech therapist or a child dentist, you know, to ask those questions that you might not get to ask those questions at your doctor's appointment or, you know, there's big gaps in doctor's appointments at some time. So you'll be able to ask these questions and also connect with other parents, because that is like a big thing when you have a newborn or a young child is you're just kind of in this like this zone, this bubble where you don't really get to connect with a lot of parents often. It's hard to get out of the house. It's hard to do these things. So this stroller walk is that opportunity to connect with other parents in the area, followed by, this is at Traverse Park,
mm-hmm.
the Strollerberry. So we'll end at the little Tots new playground. So there'll be a little time to do some reading, a little bit of songs, and then just kind of like a little play zone for them. So a really nice time to connect with other people in the community. And then that developmental specialist, I think that is just such a valuable resource that mm-hmm. people are going to be able to utilize.
Yeah. And that event is?
That's Mondays at 9:30 a.m.
Every Monday all summer long?
Every Monday all summer long, starting June 7th, with uh-huh. the exception of we are not doing any programming the week of July 4th. So that would be like July 2nd yeah. to, is that right? Nope, that's June. Sorry.
Yeah, June 30th.
This radio station,
July 4th.
We don't have much, but we have lots of calendars.
Look at that.
July the 4th is Friday yeah. this year. So
June 30th
yeah.
through July 4th, we will have no programs at the library. We'll be open other than July yeah. 4th, but
yeah.
No official programming. So yeah, that's a really mm-hmm. fun event that we'll have.
Cool. That's every Monday. That's very, very neat.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be, you're going to be busy.
We have an event every day except Friday. Wednesdays, we have two events.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, we can't touch on every single thing you're doing all summer long then, because there are however 90 days or something in the yeah. summer. But, have we highlighted, I guess, the main ones? What else is going on for the kids besides Strollerberry, which is for little ones?
Yeah.
How about that? And we've talked a little bit about the teens. How about kind of the in-between zone?
So then we have Tales and Trails, which is going on its like fifth year?
I think so.
It's been going on for a long time. I did it when my kids were really young. They're still young. But Tales and Trails on Tuesdays at 9:30. Mm-hmm. And that's up at Pine Street Woods.
Cool.
So it's a hike and story time. It's amazing. It's about a mile. You can, if you have like one of those wide wheeled strollers, like I would push my big strollers on it. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, so it's stroller-ish accessible. It's not super stroller accessible, but yeah. you can do it. I did it.
Yeah. Your country stroller.
Yeah, not totally.
Your downtown
yeah.
stroller.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's sweet. It's it's a great time to just get out, continue reading, mm-hmm. And then also just connect with other families. Like I would, you know, made friends through that event and let the kids run wild up at Pine Street Woods, mm-hmm. you know.
What's the age range for that one?
2 to 5 is kind of that target range, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's open to anybody.
Okay.
You know, we've had teenagers come on it. It's just a nice walk, and then you get some stories and time to connect.
Cool. Well, you said that's what? Tuesdays
up at Pine Street at 9:30. Yep.
Okay.
And then I can just roll through this real quick. Yeah, I'm on a roll.
All right. I'll have a cup of coffee.
Here. Yeah, you just sit back. Wednesdays. So my background is largely in gardening, farming, recreation.
That's how you originally became famous. I love
recreating. Yes, my recreation.
Yes. Originally came to prominence as a gardener, I believe. Yeah. And then,
So I'm going to take a lot of that experience and apply it to early literacy. So Wednesdays, we're going to be doing Gardenberry. And so it's...
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll be doing gardening activities in the library garden.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll focus on some books, both nonfiction and fiction books. We'll read a little bit, and then we'll do kind of like a STEM activity in the garden. So we'll be making paper for one of the activities, and we'll be talking about where trees come from, like what products trees make, you know, just kind of diving into a theme each week. So June for Gardenberry, we're going to be doing all things soil and plants. And then July is going to be native insects. And so the big theme in July, which is really exciting, is monarch butterflies. It is the state insect of Idaho, little known fact. And because you don't see many of them, right? The milkweed, the plant essential for the monarch butterfly to survive. They can eat other things, but the caterpillar needs the milkweed when it emerges, when it hatches out of the egg. So milkweed has largely gone away in this part of the country. So I want to do our part by educating people about milkweed, but the monarch butterfly, I mean, who doesn't love butterflies? It's so cute. We're going to watch butterflies emerge. We're going to have a hatch house, which is going to be a big enclosed space with about 50 monarch butterflies that are going to be flying around inside the space.
All right.
Kind of magical. Yep. Pretty excited about that one. So Gardenberry, we're just going to dive into those, the topic of gardening and insects and bugs. And that one's geared towards 6 to 9 year olds. But again, it's open to anybody as long as they can just be respectful in the program kind of thing. And then on Wednesdays also, we're going to be doing a STEM program at the farmer's market. So, love the Wednesday farmer's market. Kind of feel like that Wednesday farmer's market is that hidden gem in Sandpoint. Most people, some people don't even know it exists. So we want to kind of bring our library presence there to highlight it to people and also provide a really cool activity. And so we'll be doing a hands-on STEM activity. So like a science experiment or, you know, something fun and interactive will be happening at the farmer's market provided by the library on Wednesdays at 3 till about 4.
All right.
And then our final of the week, these happen every week, is Thursday. We're doing a young readers book club. So that's more geared towards 4th to 6th graders, depending on their reading ability. They might be able to be a little younger. But we're going to read half a book each week and discuss the book, have like an open discussion, you know, a traditional book club. And then we're going to do an activity related to that book, but it'll be in the garden.
Okay.
So it'll also be focused largely on like a natural component of that book. I chose books specifically for those kind of like, can I roll with this theme in the garden? Because I really wanted to apply those fundamentals.
Any titles people may have heard of?
Well, the first one we're reading is Wish Tree by Catherine Applegate. She is the summer reading author that is being highlighted through libraries across the country. And she's written over 100 books. They're all amazing. And they're really, a lot of her books come from the narrative of like an animal something in the natural world. So in this case, The Wish Tree, it's written from the perspective of a 100-year-old oak tree. And it's really sweet. They always have like this really kind, gentle message like throughout it, but it's not like an overt message. But you'll learn something about nature when you're reading it. This Wish Tree, one of the big kind of happenings is that on May 1st, people come and write wishes on a strip of paper or a strip of cloth, and then they tie them up in the oak tree. And that's a tradition I didn't know about, but that is something that happens across the world. It has its roots in Ireland is where that tradition came from. But I think it's a really sweet way to, you know, they kind of set their intention for the year. Like, I wish for happiness, or it can be really specific. But that happens in this book, and it kind of leads into all the other things that happen. I can't give it away. But
okay.
Wish Tree by Catherine Applegate. Yeah. Okay. It's the first book of the summer. It's really sweet. Really good read. Yeah.
Okay. And then you're reading half a book every week.
Yeah.
So basically two a month or more.
Yeah. Three books total. Cause we do take, obviously the week of July 4th off, and then there's another day we take off.
Okay.
Juneteenth
is off. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're reading three books over the course of the summer, all of them by Catherine Applegate?
No, other one is In the Red by Christopher Swidler. And that is science fiction book, really exciting, really fun, kind of like a survival on Mars book. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. And I'm not a big science fiction reader. That's not my genre of choice, but I loved this book.
Cool.
It is really cool. And then Lost Library is our last book of the summer, and that's by Rebecca Steed and Wendy Mass, and it's about a little lost library that pops up in a town, and it's guarded by a giant orange cat. It's really cute. Yeah.
Okay. That's aimed at, give me that age range again.
So 4th to 6th graders is kind of what those books are.
Nice. And then you don't have anything on Friday.
Nothing on Fridays.
Phew.
Whew. Yeah.
All right.
Rest.
That's exciting. That's good. Oh my gosh, we've been talking for a really long time. That's okay. Since you're here, let me ask some big picture questions. First of all, Kelly Burt, children's librarian. You have been in this role at the library for about 5 or 6 months. You're relatively new.
Yep.
Okay. What have you learned? What has surprised you in the world of children's librarianing?
Ooh.
Librarianship.
Wow. I've learned a ton. I think this is like a really basic thing that I've learned is that I have always been a big reader. And but I get focused on like my books that I read, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been reading a lot more junior novels, and I've been reading them to my younger son, my 6-year-old son. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that, like, wow, these books are fascinating and so fast paced and so well written that I enjoy them as an adult. And it's really good for him to hear me reading these books to him, because he can pick up on a lot of the themes and a lot of the words. We can explain some of the like higher level words to him, but it's really good for him to kind of have that, like, you want to read like 2 grade levels above where they're reading. So that was like a big thing that I learned, because I was like, oh, we should just be reading these really simple novels and these really simple picture books. But it's good to expand it. And I've had a lot of fun exploring these junior novels that, you know, you read the adult novels, me as a parent read the adult novels, and then you read the picture books, the ones geared towards your kids' age range. And I've had this like gap of reading, and I am just blown away at the level and the quality of these junior novels. They are great. Like, the plot is just so fast paced. You know, we don't have this like big, long descriptive text of like, okay, we get it, what the tree looks like, move on. These are much more, plot driven. And so,
Okay, general question about reading in this day and age. Are people still reading, and particularly are kids still reading? Are the generation of young people that you guys are focused on, books still important? I mean,
I'd say from what I see, I think it'd be a better question for somebody who's been in the field a lot longer. But I see tons of kids and their caregivers in there. And I think the really cool thing is that there are a range of different styles of books that can accommodate different levels of reading. But also, if you have, like, we talked to somebody yesterday that their child was diagnosed with dyslexia. it's really hard to sit down and read a long novel when mm-hmm. you're trying to like decode these words all the time. Well, we have junior play or junior wonder books, so they read yeah. along with you. So that you can read these like these higher level novels and have them read along with you, and you can still practice reading.
It's like a little speaker that's built into the book
yeah.
or a headphone mm-hmm. jack or something that, yeah.
Yeah, will read reads. To you. So, yeah. But you still have that hardcover book. So you're still reading.
Yeah.
But if you get tripped up on a word, it's reading it to you. So mm-hmm. it's really cool. So I think that books are being more diversified to accommodate like the higher technology. So we have like junior playaways, which are essentially books on tape, but they come on a little like preloaded device. Mm-hmm. Comes with a battery, and all you do is put your headphones in and it reads the book to you. So you don't have to have a CD player, which are sadly becoming obsolete in most cars and houses. Mm-hmm. This, they can just sit and listen to it yeah. in their little, with their little headphones on.
Uh-huh. I mean, I guess if, you know, you pay attention to the news and sometimes you hear like a panicked report from a teacher about how I'm a high school teacher and my kids don't know how to read. Like, I don't know. Do you find that, is that a problem here in our area that you see? Are the kids in our area kind of falling behind what we used to expect of readers, or are they keeping up? What do you think, Bethany? I guess you don't get to see all the kids, of right. course, in the school, but yeah. you see, of the kids you see, is reading still?
Yeah, the teens that come to the library are still pretty avid readers. Yeah. We still get requests from teens that, mm-hmm. you know, you can make a materials request at the library if you feel like we don't have a certain book or we're missing a book from a series. Mm-hmm. So we still have teens regularly requesting material. So they're definitely using the collection. My office is now closer to the young adult section, so I can see and interact with those teens a lot more, mm-hmm. which has been fantastic. So I can kind of have those kind of impromptu conversations with them about what they're looking for. And we've been trying to work towards advocating for the books that they want in the young adult section. So it's not just a young adult section that only adults read out of,
yeah.
But it's the books that they're actually looking for.
Huh.
Yeah.
What do you think they are? What are they looking for? What is popular these days?
We still have a big focus on fantasy, mm-hmm. dragons and kings and queens and elves and mm-hmm. those kind of epic storylines. Mm-hmm. Still a lot of big focus on dystopian, kind of like the Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. We have the second in the prequel series that Suzanne Collins has been still writing. So that just came out in March, Sunrise on the Reaping.
Okay.
So that's still very popular. Lots of mysteries, those stories with all kinds of crazy heists and stories where you keep you guessing, page turners. Yeah. So.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. any perennial classics, kids? I mean, what do people go back for? Like in the teen range, are there any old books that you find are still popular?
Still a lot of Gary Paulson, author of Red Hatchet.
Yeah.
He wrote a lot of actual young adult focused books.
Right.
So we still have a lot of those on the shelf that a lot of teens still check out.
I read a bunch of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he still alive?
No, I think he passed away like 2 years ago. But he was a very big advocate for libraries.
Yeah.
Because a librarian early on in his life helped him kind of get on a better track for his life.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I know anything about the biography of that that fellow. Okay. I'm guessing The Lord of the Rings is still on the shelf.
Lord of the Rings is still on the shelf. Mm-hmm.
Trying to remember like what I was reading in high school.
Yeah.
Or what, you know, what really, was interesting. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, thinking of like fantasy type stuff.
Yes. Yes. Fantasy is still very big, mm-hmm. but it's kind of an ever-evolving the what's the newest trend in in fantasy for sure.
Well, okay, that's but the kids, they are still reading. Yes. Some of them are anyway.
Yes.
We know this.
Yes.
Okay, good. They and haven't those, forgotten how.
Yeah, those audiobooks and those ebooks are super popular with them. So they can stream things on their personal devices.
Okay. That's a, that's like a study technique that I think is not, I mean, beyond just children or, you know, having an audiobook that you read along with at the same time is something that I think is, it's sort of a popular study technique at higher levels of education too, I think.
Yeah.
I've heard of that. Okay. Well, the importance of summer reading at the library is what we've been discussing, with the Color Run coming up on June 7th to kick off this whole thing. You guys change your, the library hours change when? No.
Nope.
Oh, really?
Stay.
Library hours stay the same throughout the summer.
Is that, that they used to change? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Perhaps.
Didn't they used
maybe.
To, didn't the hours used to change during the summer? Okay.
I don't know.
I swear they did. Okay. Well, they don't now. If... okay. Libraries open all the time.
Not Sundays.
Not Sundays.
Yeah. No. But you, you'll be open the regular hours.
Yeah.
The teen center is located downstairs in, or the, and the, I don't know. And then the children's area, everybody knows where that is.
Yeah.
Bottom floor, right on the left.
Yeah.
Well, this has been very fun.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
I see that Rob from the Panda is outside waiting in the wings to, to jump on here. Tell us about what's going on at the Panda Theater these days.
Can I add one
thing? I was just going to say, what did we miss? What did I forget
The main thing is just where to find these events, because I know we threw a lot at people. So as always, you can head to our website, ebonnerlibrary.org. And if you just want to get straight to it, just add a /events, and that'll bring you up to our events page. Okay. And then if you really want to be on it, sign up for our newsletter. We don't spam you. Amanda and Katie do a fantastic job of making a really well designed newsletter that goes out once a month. So if you just want to learn about kids and teens, you can click on that and they'll just send you a kids and teens newsletter and it'll keep you up to date with the monthly events. And it's a nice way so you don't have to like keep searching like what's going on? What's going on?
Yeah.
Or come by the library and get a printed calendar.
Hey,
we have that too.
Hey, there you go.
Yep.
The kids story time still goes on.
So no, we are, not during the summer. So that's why we do the other events. Kids story times, Mother Goose story time will resume once school comes back into session.
Okay. Well, exciting. The Tuesday walk in the woods one sounds like something, I think I'll be participating in that.
Yeah. You and your family there.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
Should be fun. It was on this day in 19, hold on, what happened here? It was on this day in what year? What year was it? 1965 that this band went to number one on the U.S. singles chart. It's the group's eighth U.S. number one. The American singles label declared that the song was from the United Artists release, Eight Arms to Hold You. This was the original title of this group's second movie. However, the title changed from Eight Arms to Hold You to Help after
The
single was released. The group is The Beatles. The song is Ticket to Ride. On this date, it was at number one 60 years ago. Wow. Okay. Here they are. And we'll be back in a minute, maybe with... Bethany and Kelly from the library, definitely with Rob from the Panada. I said, this is Ticket to Ride by the Beatles. I believe that's what I said. Rob, come in here. Okay. In a second, I swear the song is going to start. It's as soon as this spinning beach ball goes away on my computer. You guys got any plans for the weekend while we wait for the Beatles to kick in?
My family's camping. If they're listening, I'll miss you guys.
Oh, I bet they're tuned in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay. Here they are.
All right, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, the Beatles, with Ticket to Ride from 1965. That's from the soundtrack album to the film Help. And we're here now. Yeah, he's got mic three in front of him. Rob Talbot, the executive director of the Panada Theater, joins us in the studio.
Good morning, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Why, good morning, Rob. And it's no longer Lost in the 50s. It's actually kind of a quiet weekend in town, at least as far as
yeah, it's the Lost big in the 50s hangover kind of
right. Yeah,
I've from the whole time I've been in town, I've never quite understood why this weekend is so
Memorial
quiet.
Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend is always quiet.
It is.
There was the play that happened. There was a play that was put on pre-COVID by Dorothy Prophet mm-hmm. and her group. That was the only thing that really happened regularly, and then they stopped around COVID. So, there's nothing really regularly that happens on this weekend, and that might be changing next year. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Yeah,
you heard it here first.
It does seem like an empty weekend.
Something it does
waiting
yeah.
to be grabbed, but I don't know. Maybe people just get out of town, or it's that Lost in the 50s. Yeah, is overkill. We'll see.
The hangover's still there, I guess.
Yeah, see what happens next year. What about this year? What about this weekend and what's coming up in the near future at the Panada Theater?
So we have some great dance recitals. It's always fun to get the kids in there and turn the place into a little bit of a palace for the youngsters trying to learn what they're doing, learn dance and stuff like that. So we've got two dance recitals coming up in the next couple weeks. We've got Leish Dance Center presents a slumber party. And that showing will be this Friday, May 23rd at 7. And then we have Allegro coming in next week, and their performance, they'll have two performances on Saturday, May 31st at 1 and 6. Mm-hmm. and we're to the board mm-hmm. meeting.
The slumber party, I'm just now figuring this out. It's not an actual, slumber party. This is a show called Slumber Party.
Yes.
Okay.
It is a performance called Slumber Party, yes.
Yes, and it is Friday, May 23rd.
Yes.
Okay. 7 o'clock. You don't sleep over.
No, right. we prefer you not.
You'd be kicked out.
You will be asked very nicely to leave.
Yeah.
And we won't have to do anything more than that, I would assume. You'll be fine.
You'll get the picture.
Yeah. You won't want to be in there after the lights go out.
That's true. Mm-hmm. it's not a place. You might have company. After the lights go out, there's some possible, well, we'll talk about that in October.
yeah, we'll come back to that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's two dance recitals coming up in, the
next 2 weeks.
May
23rd. Looking a little bit further out, we've got a couple, Panada Presents events that you should have your eye on. One of them is mm-hmm. Andy Gross. He was here in August last year and drew a pretty big crowd. Mm-hmm. Coming back again, fantastic magician, great illusionist, and a bit of a comedian. He's funny, and it is kid friendly. Younger kids, you know, preteen, you know, elementary kids may not get it as much, but there's nothing. There won't be anything that's offensive or problematic.
Mm-hmm.
They may just not get it, but. Older kids, all the way through adults, mm-hmm. will have a ball with this and really enjoy it. And I mean, just the illusions he does is pretty impressive. There was one he did a card throwing, like a knife throwing trick into cards and caught the card that the person had picked. That he'd picked a person out from the audience. Yeah. They picked a card. I mean, I knew the person. He didn't know the person. There's no way. And he threw a knife, caught the card in midair.
Yeah,
it's with a knife. I don't know. It's just
How do
and I'll
they
be
do
honest?
That?
I videoed that thing.
How they do
I videoed that,
that
trick,
I don't
and
get
I still
it.
Cannot figure out how he did it.
Yeah, pretty cool. Okay, that's Saturday, June 7th, 7:30 p.m. Andy
yep.
Gross.
Yep. And the other one we have is Steve Poltz, and he's going to be opening for him. Will be Lori Shook. You know, obviously that's a draw in and of itself. But if you don't know who Steve Poltz is,
mm-hmm.
Think something in the middle of John Craigie, Wood Brothers, and Jewel.
Mm.
He's his stage presence is amazing. He's a storyteller, so he talks about things in between songs, much like Craigie does. He actually wrote a couple of Jules' bigger songs. Be With Me, I think. I should know this off the top of my head, but it's early morning for me. I don't really do much thought processing until at least 10 in the morning.
But Steve Poltz is his name, and Laurie Shook.
Laurie Shook is opening for him, yep.
Uh-huh. Back in town to open for Steve Poltz. Cool. One night only, I'm guessing?
Yes, he'll be in one night only, and then that is June 25th. And those are reserved seating, so you have to you get the seat that you want.
Right.
You go in and pick out a seat that you want.
Uh-huh.
So make sure that we're, you know, you get in there and pick out your seat. It's not general admission, which some of our shows are general admission, where you just buy a $25 ticket or something like that, and you just sit wherever.
Mm-hmm.
This one you will pick a seat.
Okay.
So yeah, I did a little deep dive. Went down the whole rabbit hole with him the other night.
KRFY, just kind of listened to
and watched a bunch of his videos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of laughing out loud. Very entertaining. And some fun songs. He's a phenomenal guitarist as well.
Cool. Okay. What else didn't we mention? The Hades Town. That's this month, right?
Correct.
Or next, that, I guess, June.
Yes, that's
within,
in June.
Within a month of today. Yes.
Correct.
That's from Nova High, so the Waldorf High School kind of.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they are impressive. Last year, I was blown away with their production value. They really knock it out of the ballpark.
Yeah. I think we talked to some of the cast of that one, and I don't even remember what it is now, what they did. But I remember being kind of impressed with just kind of the. Maybe the maturity of the performance would be a
that's
word.
A good way to put it. Yeah,
yeah. And Hades Town is an interesting choice. I think we've aired that on these airwaves, the Broadway edition. They're making some cool picks there. They're not doing the same old at Nova High.
Yeah, no, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I remembered that song. It was You Were Meant for Me.
that was a smash.
That was a
huge hit.
It was a huge hit. Yeah, and if you look at the if you look up the music video, he's the other person in the video with Jewel.
Okay.
And he'll be here. Yeah.
All right. Well, it is 9 o'clock.
Time
for Bird Note, I guess. Thanks for dropping by, Rob.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again to Kelly and Bethany from the East Bonner County Library for popping in. Stay tuned for Bird Note. Stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix. Tune in all next week. It is that time of year. We don't beg for money all the time. Maybe we should, but we try not to. And then we come to you 1 week a year and try to ask you to help support this radio station, and that week is next week. Our fun drive Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday will be on the air every evening from 6 to 9 p.m. Tune in and join us then. We'll also be regularly scheduled here on the morning show, and we'll have some fun during Otto's Eclectic Mix as well. And then on Friday next week, we are going to be over at the Idaho Poor Authority tap takeover from Utara Brewing. And proceeds go to KRFY, and the KRFY crew will all be over there. We're going to have a lot of fun, and hope you join us. And I hope you tune in next week. Live musicians in the studio every single night, and yes, much fun to be had.
And I'll highly recommend being an underwriter for the station.
We need those.
Mm-hmm. Maddox Farm Production has been one for, I think, 2 years now, and it's very rewarding to know you're part of something like this. So anybody out there with a business, I highly recommend reaching out and being an underwriter.
Well,
this week's a good way to do it.
We appreciate that, Rob. We try to keep our ask low of everybody so that everybody can pitch in, and we can all, you know, we don't lean too heavily on any one person, but we do. That means that philosophy means that we do need everybody to pitch in. a little bit. So thanks for listening. And if you want, if you can support us, please do. Next week's the big week to do it.
I'm going to be more direct. Just support them.
Yeah. He is. Thanks, Rob. Okay. We'll play Bird Note now, and we'll talk to you all again very soon here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.